passionate parenting, principles from the Word of God that we can apply to our life in the area of parenting and the relationships that matter the most to us. And today we're going to talk about the laughing parent. And you might be thinking, where in the world are we going with this? But hang in there with me, and we're going to try to teach a principle that's vital for every one of our homes. The Bible says in Proverbs 17 and verse number 22, our text that we'll launch from, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Now everybody think with me for a minute. Somebody that you like to spend time with simply because of the way you feel when you are around them. You like to be around them because they make you feel special. You like to be around them because they make you feel important. You like to be around them maybe because they make you laugh. They see the lighter side of everything. And at times when the bills are coming and this is happening and this is developing and so on, it's just nice to be around somebody who can find a way to find some humor in anything. And there's an element of that that is needful in every one of our homes. There needs to be a lighter side. There needs to be some fun. There needs to be a time or a season in our homes where everybody is just enjoying themselves and learning to have that kind of sense of humor and ability to laugh, laugh at themselves, laugh at others, and just have that wholesome environment to the home. I read a book several years ago, actually on a flight to Michigan. I called my dad when I landed and thanked him for so many things he did in our home that was right. But the book was entitled Jumping Ship. And the thesis of the book was this. A lot of Christian home children, as they become into their junior high and maybe high school years and begin to kind of see everything around them and begin to understand some things and so on, many of them will then choose when able to get out of the Christian home and never to come back to church or whatever. And what a sad tragedy indeed that that is. And certainly for all of us in this room, that's what we don't want. We want to rear children, nurture the admonition of the Lord. We want children that live their whole life, however long that may be, according to the will of the Lord, and hear at the end of their life, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But this author was talking about the tragedy in American homes where so many kids are leaving, and that would be a true statement. And he likened it to the Christian home being a rowboat. And there's mom and dad and kids, and there's the boat, and they're afloat. They're not drowning, but there's not a lot to it. Then he talked about what the world has to offer as the Disney cruise liner. And the analogy in the book was Christian moms and dads telling their kids how bad the world is as the Disney cruise liner goes by. And they look at their rowboat, and they look at their this or that, and they look at that, and there's confusion there. And the thesis of the book was not that we need to make more money, have bigger houses, you know, drive nicer cars. It had nothing to do with that. The idea in the book was we have to learn the importance of making the Christian life fun. There's a vital ingredient to doing right and having fun while you do it. Because Satan wants to convince our kids that if they're going to live a life that honors and pleases the Lord, they will never have fun again. They are signing up for eternal misery. They will never have fun. They will never enjoy anything. Life is just going to be a bummer every day. And that's what he wants them to believe. By the way, if you have rules in your home and you're trying to govern your home according to the Word of God, have your kids ever asked you about why we do things the way we do them and why doesn't everybody else do it? Or what is, you know, I mean, and if not, it's coming. And it's coming like you cannot believe, all right? Just get ready for it. And that's part of the waters that we're going to navigate. But there's something that we have to understand, and that is, listen, we're going to do right. We're going to abide by the Word of God. We're going to follow biblical principles. But we're going to have some fun along the way because our kids need to know that doing the right thing is more fun than anything the world has to offer. My wife and I will celebrate 15 years of marriage this summer. And I can tell you this unashamedly. It is far more fun to come home to the same woman every single night for 15 years than it is to do everything the world has to offer. It's a whole lot better. And every married guy around that time, that would be a good hearty amen moment, all right? So anyway, but that's a whole lot better, isn't it, guys? Amen. And what God has to offer indeed is better. And there's need for this joy, this laughter, this excitement in our home. So let's dive into this study and see how we can apply this to the environment of our home. Number one, I want us to see the need for laughter at home. The need for laughter at home. The need that we have to learn to laugh together and often at ourselves is a huge part of family life. The Bible says in Proverbs 15, 13, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. So a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. Boy, everybody in our home is sad. Everybody in our home is down in the Mullet Groves. Everybody in our home doesn't like to be there. We've got to change the culture. How do we do that? Get some fun. Good, wholesome fun in the home. Verse 15, all the days of the afflicted are evil. But he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. And it's not going to be just Brother Tobin's barbecue chicken. We can have a continual feast of joy in our homes if we have a merry heart. Laughter is a wonderful gift. Have you ever been in an environment where maybe something very tense was happening? I just looked down at Mike and Jessica, and I remember my wife and I driving to a test that they were having, and we met in a parking lot, and we had prayer, and that was a serious moment in their lives. And I forget who, Mike or Jessica or Suzanne or whatever, but somebody found some humor in it all as well. And I think we were praying, crying, and praying, and laughing all at the same time. And there is power to humor. There is power to a merry heart. There is power to a lighter side. There is power to some laughter in our lives. And in order to do that, we have to create a culture in our home where, first of all, we can laugh at ourselves. Now, all of us usually take ourselves more seriously than we should. And it is good for us to laugh at ourselves. That's a wholesome thing. It just keeps life in perspective. It keeps us on an even keel. It keeps humility where it should be or whatever it is. But it's a good thing. And we should have an environment where we can have that kind of fun in our homes as well. The Bible says in John 10:10 that the thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and destroy. But I come, the Lord said, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. We don't want our children to be thinking, well, if we're going to live the Christian life and do things right and date right and marry right and live for God and go to church and share our faith and tithe and all of these kinds of things that our parents are advocating for us, then it's just going to be one terrible, miserable life that we're going to live. No. God says, I did not just come to give life. I came to give it more abundantly. If our kids are going to live a full, abundant life, it will be because they're living the life that God created them to live. There's nothing greater. But they need to know that. They need to see that in us, and they need to see that environment cultivated in our homes. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. God wants you and I to have life more abundant and joy unspeakable. There should be something about us that can handle adversity even with a little bit of humor. Because we just know God's in control. Amen. God's not going to allow us to face anything he doesn't know about. Nothing is surprising God at this very moment. And I don't know, there may be some in our class this week that are facing some major challenges, maybe with work. I know we had some, maybe loss of job, or maybe a bad bill of health, or maybe some other scenario unfolding in your life at this very moment. But there's something about the Christian who has studied Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and who is putting all of their trust in the Lord, and who is leaning not to their own understanding, and who is understanding God is in control of everything, and God can take care of everything, and God can take care of me, and my health, and my needs, and my families, and anything else that I could possibly worry about, God can handle it. Amen. And if I believe that, then I can handle life and even find the lighter side through it as we go. And so we have to understand this is a need for our lives, for our homes, and for our children. So how can we effectively develop this environment in our home and make our home their first choice for fun? A couple thoughts, letter A. The key to providing proper and adequate entertainment is that you must thoroughly enjoy seeing them, your children, immersed in good and healthy fun. Sometimes, as parents, we struggle with finding fulfillment in our kids having fun. And we have to get to a place where that's something we truly enjoy. And sometimes the struggle is there because we feel like that's all they ever do is have fun. and, you know, the room's a mess, looks like a tsunami went through it. They're, you know, this is wrong, their homework is behind or whatever. And we have to have some balance at home. We've talked about some of those things in these lessons. But there does need to be a side to our children being in the home and having fun that we say, this is a good thing. I'm glad we're having this. So we're really striving to make this a part of their life. We have to thoroughly enjoy when they are having fun. That's got to bring joy to our hearts as well. Let it be parents then who habitually push their children aside, not wanting to be bothered with their frivolous play, will lose the hearts of their teens. So when we are in a season where maybe the children are wanting to do something fun or wanting to have fun or wanting to play games or whatever, and it's just a bother to us, there's going to be a disconnect created that we have to be very careful of. It's been so fun this baseball season to see so many dads in our class out there helping the boys with baseball or cheering them on or whatever, but involved. We've had heavily involved moms and dads supporting, cheering, coaching, encouraging, bringing goodies, whatever the case may be. It's just parents involved. And you know what? Something very smart about that. Finding joy and being involved in something that your children will enjoy. It's a good thing for their development and for your home. Letter C. It is not enough to give your children time to play. Now watch this. You must sacrifice and find time to play with them. It's not just enough that your kids have time to play. What we're talking about fundamentally here, the laughing parent, the enjoyable parent, the joy-giving parent, is that they are making fun memories with you. You want time with you when it comes to kids wanting to have fun to be at the top of their list. Man, you want to have a good time, who do you want to be with? Mom and dad. Absolutely. If we're going to have a really good time, that's where we want to be, because they're all about it and we can have a great time with them. We want to cultivate that in our homes, and that's something we have to work at, and we have to make the time. Whatever it is that's preventing us from having time with them to have fun is probably not nearly as important as the heartfelt connection that we will get if we make that time happen. So we have to prioritize it. Then letter D, seek to be the most thrilling source of entertainment available to your teens, to your children. Seek to be the most thrilling source of entertainment. And by the way, parents, let me caution you with something. Every opportunity that comes into your child's life is not an obligation. My children may have an opportunity to do something that conflicts with something I want to do. Guess what we're going to do? What I want to do. Why? Because I am responsible for that heart. So they could go do whatever with a handful of friends, or I could take them and make a memory and have fun. We're going to go make a memory and have fun. They see their friends at school. I'm not sheltering them or inhibiting their development in some terrible way, because as a dad, I might say no to some social opportunity so I can say yes to some family bonding opportunity. That's not a problem. That's what being a dad is. That's what dads do. And dads say yes when they can. We talked about that last week. But we also have a very good quick no as well. And we know how to use it. And we want to make sure we're having that family time. So work to be that source. Now, you've got to set boundaries to all of that. We're going to talk about that a little bit in the lesson. You've got to be creative. You've got to be spontaneous. By the way, I'm not talking about how you always have to spend a ton of money. We've talked about that in this series and in this class. It's not about who can spend more. It's not about, we talked last week, I think, about more important to take 1 hour of your time every week and spend with an individual child and have fun and nurture that heart than to take a four-day excursion to Disney World once a year. Far more important to have that weekly connection, that time, that nurturing of heart where you have their heart safely in your hands. So seek to be that. And we've got to be creative. We've got to work together. We've got to plan to make sure that we have that. Letter E. The most critical time for entertainment is when they're getting to their middle teen years. Now, this is in my future. For some, you're there. For some, this is in your future as well. But it's something we want to be mindful of so we can prepare for. Why? Because when a child is becoming a middle teen, 14, 15, in this range, their social life becomes a significant part of their entertainment and really of their identity. It's a primary concern. What's happening? Who's going to be there? What am I going to be a part of or whatever? And we just want to be in tune with that. Why? Because what's usually coinciding with that is parental career development. And so the natural happening is teens getting more involved with other teens and social obligations and entertainment and so on, and parents getting busier and busier and busier, and there's a disconnect that widens when the exact opposite needs to be happening. We need to put some less important things on hold or pause or delay till another time, and we've got to stay engaged in the life of our child, and we've got to seek to provide something for them. Listen, I cannot advocate to my children to stay on my rowboat if I don't do the best of my ability to make my rowboat fun. Now, I may not have everything the Disney Cruise Liner has. And by the way, a lot of the Disney Cruise Liner looks one way on the outside and a different way on the inside, because sin is pleasure for a season. One of the best things my dad ever did, taking me with him on a bus route. We go on a Saturday morning, we knock doors, and we go talk with families, and we invite them to church. And I saw how people lived who were in sin. And I want to tell you, as a young man, it made me thankful for what I had. It made me thankful for the heritage that I had and the home that I had. I may not have agreed with every rule, and I may not have appreciated it at the moment and every time. And I've got to be really honest because my mom is sitting right there. But I can tell you this. I am thankful for the heritage that I had, and I'm thankful for a mom and a dad who were sensitive and careful that home life was fun and ministry was fun. But I understood that, yes, sin has pleasure for a season, and yes, it looks fun, and the lights are bright, and the music is loud, and all of that, but there's an end of a thing. And from an early age, I began to see what the end of the thing was, and because of diligence and training, I began to understand, I don't even want to go down that road or take that risk. And we've got to be very careful to understand this critical time. We're not going to be able to isolate them. We're not going to be able to fence them off, but we're going to have to create an environment in our home to provide for this critical time, because we also know that their bodies are changing during this time, and an awareness of the opposite gender is happening at this time. And so many young people from good Christian homes can begin to make poor decisions and choose poor directions and establish poor relationships because of an absent father and mother who may sleep in the same house but are not active in pursuing their heart and are not creating the environment that is necessary, and there's a disconnect that's happening that's leaving them vulnerable. We've got to be aware of it. We've got to fight it. Letter F. The delicate key then is you inoculate them against runaway passions by controlled injections of a supervised social life. You say, Brother Roll, what are you talking about? What I'm talking about is you are dad and you are mom and you are in their life for a reason. If you have a pause in your spirit about some social event they can do, you say no. And if they say, I don't understand why you're saying no, you can say something like this. You know what? I don't even know that I understand it, but I know this. I'm praying about it right now, and I don't have a peace about it. Because I just love you too much. You mean too much to me, and I don't exactly understand where this is going and who's going to be there and what they're going to be doing. And if I just don't understand it, then we might stay away from it, or I might just go with you. But we're just going to be careful. And then we're going to try to create a lot of fun in our homes. You want to make your home the place your kids want to be and bring friends. And this is the time of life where you're investing in fun things to do at the house, and whether it's sports, a basketball court or volleyball court or some kind of recreational space. But you're doing everything you can to say, hey, home is where fun is, and this is where we're going to have a good time, and this is where we're going to be, and this is where we're going to bring friends. And it doesn't mean there may not be a social event you can partake in. I'm just saying be careful, be cautious, and when the Spirit of God puts a pause in your heart, listen to Him. Letter G. A good local church is critical as it provides an environment for your teen or your child to see other families who share the same biblical values. That's what's so fundamentally important about things like last night. Last night, it wasn't just about the barbecue, although Tobin, you did a great job. But one of the important things last night was a lot of families got together and kids could look around and say, we're not the only one. We're not the only one at this church. We're not the only one with a mom and a dad who love God and are trying to study the Word of God and who are shaping our lives and have boundaries for us and who love us, but there's rules involved in our relationship. We're not the only one like that. There's something powerful to an environment that your family can be in where children can see other families with a like-minded biblical value structure. So there's a need for laughter at home. We've got to create it there, and we've got to be careful where else it is sought in their lives. Number two, then there needs to be boundaries for laughter at home. Boundaries for laughter at home. Now, as you and I develop this fun and this spirit of laughter and this joy in our home, we do have to have some basic boundaries, all right? Some care and caution we have to exercise. First of all, letter A, laugh at yourself first. If you and I are not at a place within ourselves where we can just laugh at ourselves, then we need to get there. Our family should not feel like they're in pins and needles every time they're around us. Like, oh, here comes Dad. Be careful. You know, nobody look at him in the eye. Just kind of steer clear, you know. Let's just kind of see what kind of mood he's in. It shouldn't be that way. I'm sure everybody in here faces a lot of crazy stuff in a given day. There's a lot of stress. There's a lot of anxiety. There's a lot of tension. There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of this. There's a lot of that. But you have to determine, how do you want to be at home? Do you want to be the byproduct of everything that's on your shoulders? Or do you just want to be a good Christian and husband and dad and wife and mom? And there's going to have to be something internally that says, you know what? I'm going to have to learn to turn off all the pressures and come into my home and be who my family needs to be. If every day is, let's see where Dad's at and how it's going today, and can we interact or not? Can we engage or not? Let's depend. And I'm not saying you're not allowed to have a bad day. I'm not saying you're not allowed to never not feel well or something, but you do need to be determined. Listen, I want to be stable in season, out of season. I want to be who I'm supposed to be continuously. And if I get bad news or if something bad happens, we may have to deal with it. But I don't want it to be a roller coaster. I don't want it to be, man, I don't know if we should duck or pucker. I don't know how it should work. We want to be the same person through and through. And there's a healthy ability to just laugh at ourselves and have fun and lead the way in that way. Then letter B, we've got a protective boundary of laughing at me only when I'm laughing at me. In other words, with your family members, you want to be sensitive and careful that not to offend a family member because everybody's laughing at them when they're not ready to laugh at themselves. Now, I don't know that we need a show of hands, but probably every family in here knows that they have a more sensitive natured person in their home. I'm thinking of one in our home right now, and no, it is not my wife, all right? But we do have one sensitive natured person in our home, and I promise you, when we're in a season of fun, Suzanne and I are watching the eyes of that child. Why? Because we can just tell when it went too far. And we can just, hey, you okay? Why? Because what value is there if 5 out of 6 are having a great time, but 1 feels like they're the brunt of it all? That's not what we're trying to accomplish. We're trying to have fun. So create some boundaries in your home. And if you feel like somebody's not involved or is struggling with what's happening, then take some time and make sure that is reconciled. Just be very careful to make sure somebody feels like it's not at them. Then let her see. Now, if I struggle to laugh at me, help me get over it first. Then we can all laugh together. If you have a member in your family that they really struggle with people having fun and maybe they're involved in it, something they did, something they said, a way they said it, you know, whatever the case may be. And in home life, you know, the material for this is never ending. Then this is a good life lesson. They need to see you and I with the ability to laugh for ourselves, and then we've got to help them. Why? Because fundamentally at the root, it may just be a pride issue. I may just be thinking more of myself than I ought to think. And I need to get over myself and recognize I'm not perfect. I'm going to make mistakes and I'm going to do weird and crazy things. And I'm going to make people laugh by the way that I do them. And that's life. And it's what happens. And a merry heart is a good thing. And so let's learn to laugh at it. We're creating a balanced person that can handle a harsh world out there. And this is something that's good for their developmental years in our home. So help them with this and lead the way. Then letter D, when in doubt, let's just all laugh at Dad. All right? When in doubt, who do we laugh at? What's happening? It's kind of a tense moment. Somebody just raise up to it and take it. And Dad, you do that. Mom, if you can handle it and that's your role, go for it. But when in doubt, take the pressure off. Make it fun and be willing to be the person in whom the joy is directed. It's okay. And the Lord will use it in your home. And by the way, this will dissipate insecurities in your home more than just about anything else. A wholesome, balanced perspective of people and an ability to laugh and have fun. It just evens the playing field. And it brings great perspective and helps eliminate insecurity. And I'm going to give you this thought as we close. Number three, laugh at the right stuff. Laugh at the right stuff. The world is producing a happiness, a joy, a whatever, that it says that every one of our homes have to have. And it's filled with cursing. It's filled with godlessness. It's filled with sexual innuendos. It's filled with all kinds of filth and trash. And the world says, yeah, we got to pump this into your home, and this is what you need to watch, and this is what you need to play, and this is where you need to go, and this is what you need to do, and this is fun, this is fun, this is fun. And there's got to be some moms and dads in our His Design class that say, listen, we understand the value of a merry heart, and we're going to work to have a home that is fun and a place where kids want to be and want to bring friends. But we are going to have some boundaries, and we are going to laugh at the right kind of stuff, and we're going to have fun in the right kind of way. And we're not going to cross a line where we have to apologize to God for the entertainment in our home. We're going to have some boundaries we're not going to cross. The Bible says in James chapter, or Philippians 4 and verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And one of the reasons we may be struggling to have a wholesome, good time in our home is because we've allowed another kind of a good time in our home that we've got to eradicate first. And it may be going through the movie titles this afternoon. And it may be going through the entertainment and the games and the whatever. And it may be looking at the summer calendar and saying, hey, does this all honor and please the Lord? Is this all the right kind of fun and entertainment? Are we going to laugh at something that we can do with a clear conscience before God? Because we can try in our own fleshly power to create a great environment, but if we're just pumping the world's entertainment in, we're not helping our kids. There's an uncertain sound. There's an admission of hypocrisy that they can't handle, they cannot understand. How can we go to church and the Bible says this, but we go home and we do this? How does that work? And we're basically teaching them, yeah, if you can go to church and hold a Bible and say hi and look good, and then go home and live however you want, it's fine. That isn't fine. When I stand before God and give an account for my life, it's not going to be an account for my life just during Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'm going to give an account for my life for every day, for the whole day, for everything I do, for everything I say, for everything I watch, for everything I'm involved in. And my life is not perfect, but my kids have got to watch me say, hey, we're going to have some boundaries because we want to please and honor God, and I've got to bring them up in that environment. So our homes need fun. And we've got to create it. And we've got to make it a staple part of our home. We've got to have boundaries. We don't want to offend or hurt somebody. And then we've got to make sure we're enjoying the right kind of things. And I think that's an applicable thought as we head into the summer months. Lord, we want to have a good time. But help us to be mindful. We don't want to do it at the expense of bringing something into our lives or minds or ears or home that dishonors and displeases you. May His Design be filled with families who are having fun. The kind of fun that God honors. The kind of fun that your kids need and will help them the rest of their life. Heavenly Father, we sure love you. Thank you for some time around your word this morning. Lord, I pray that you would bless our class and bless every family here. And Lord, I pray that you'd find us faithful in these summer months. But I pray that you'd find us diligent to creating the right environment in our home. May it be a place where we're just having a good time. May we strive to create in every person in our home a merry heart between husband and wife, between parents and children. May there be a merry heart that's cultivated, and may home be the destination for a great time and wonderful memories. Lord, I pray that you'd bless our families, bless them in the holiday tomorrow and this week, and then bring us back safely next Sunday. We pray, and we'll praise and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.